Welcome to day 109 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and we are continuing to go through the Word of God this year. Today we will be reading 1 Samuel chapters 28, 29, 30, and 31, and also we will read Psalm 18. We are reading today from the Amplified Bible, beginning at 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 1. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war against Israel. Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men shall go with me to battle." David said to Achish, "All right, you shall know what your servant can do." Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you my bodyguard always." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine host, he was afraid. His heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord, he refused to answer him, either by dreams or by Urim, a symbol worn by the priests when seeking the will of God for Israel, or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium between the living and the dead, that I may go and inquire of her." His servants said, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment, and he and two men with him went and came to the woman at night. He said to her, "Perceive for me by the familiar spirit, and bring up for me the dead person whom I shall name to you." The woman said, "See here, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off all those who are mediums and wizards out of the land. Why then do you lay a trap for my life to cause my death?" And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, there shall be no punishment come to you for this." The woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she screamed, and she said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." The king said to her, "Be not afraid. What do you see?" The woman said to Saul, "I see a God, terrifying superhuman being coming out of the earth." He said to her, "In what form is he?" And she said, "An old man comes up, covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and made obeisance. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me to bring me up?" Saul answered, "I am bitterly distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do." Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, seeing that the Lord has turned from you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he said through me he would do, for he has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord or execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give Israel with you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me among the dead. The Lord also will give the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Then immediately Saul fell full length upon the floor of the medium's house and was exceedingly afraid because of Samuel's words. There was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. The woman came to Saul, and seeing that he was greatly troubled, she said to him, "Behold, your handmaid has obeyed you, and I have put my life in my hands, and have listened to what you said to me. Now I pray you, listen also to the voice of your handmaid, and let me set a morsel of food before you, and eat, so you may have strength when you go on your way. But he said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, urged him and heeded their words. So he arose from the ground and sat upon the bed. The woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hurried and killed it, and took flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread. Then she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose up and went away that night. Chapter 29. Now the Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountain in Jezreel. As the Philistine lords were passing on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were in the rear with Achish, the Philistine princes said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" Achish said to the Philistine princes, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days and years, and I have found no fault in him since he deserted to me to this day?" And the Philistine princes were angry with Achish and said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place where you have assigned him, and let him not go with us down to the battle, lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. For how could David reconcile himself to his master? Would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David of whom they sang to one another in dances? Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been honest and upright, and for you to go out and come in with me in the army is good in my sight. For I have found no evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day, yet the lords do not approve of you. So return now and go peaceably, so as not to displease the Philistine lords." David said to Achish, "But what have I done, and what have you found in your servant as long as I've been with you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish said to David, "I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' So now, rise up early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. But the Philistines went up to Jezreel to fight against Israel. Chapter 30. Now when David and his men came home to Ziklag on the third day, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid on the south, the Negev, and on Ziklag, and had struck Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women and all who were there, both great and small, captive. They killed no one, but carried them off and went on their way. So David and his men came to the town, and behold, it was burned, and their wives and sons and daughters were taken captive. Then David and the men with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray you, bring me the ephod." And Abiathar brought him the ephod. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" The Lord answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men with him, and came to the brook Besor. There those remained who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind who were too exhausted and faint to cross the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he ate and water to drink and a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit returned to him, for he had eaten no food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and from where have you come?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We had made a raid on the south Negeb of the Cherethites, and upon that which belongs to Judah, and upon the south Negeb of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Can you take me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band." And when he had brought David down, behold, the raiders were spread abroad over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even to the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except 400 youths who rode camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David recovered all. Also, David captured all the flocks and herds which the enemy had, and the people drove those animals before him and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men who were so exhausted and faint that they could not follow him and had been left at the brook Besor with the baggage. They came to meet David and those with him, and when he came near to the men, he saluted them. Then all the wicked and base men who went with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will give them nothing of the spoil we have recovered, except that every man may lead away his wife and children and depart." David said, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and has delivered into our hands the troop that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For as is the share of him who goes into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike." And from that day to this, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel. When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to the elders of Judah, his friends, saying, "Here is a gift for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." For those in Bethel, Ramoth of the Negeb, Jatir, Aror, Sifmoth, Eshtemoa, Rakal, the cities of the Jeramelites, the cities of the Kenites, Hormah, Borashan, Attack, Hebron, and for those in all the places David and his men had habitually haunted. Chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines pursued Saul and his sons and slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers severely wounded him. Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse and mock me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was terrified. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. When his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died that day together. And when the men of Israel on the other side of the valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelites had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off Saul's head and stripped off his armor and sent them round about the land of the Philistines to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put Saul's armor in the house of Ashtaroth, the idols representing the female deities Ashtoreth and Asherah. And they fastened his body to the wall of Beth-shan. When the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night, and they took the bodies of Saul and his sons from the wall of Beth-shan and came to Jabesh and cremated them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Psalm 18. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, verse 1, I love you fervently and devotedly, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my keen and firm strength, in whom I will trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The cords or bands of death surrounded me, and the streams of ungodliness and the torrents of ruin terrified me. The cords of Sheol, the place of the dead, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted and came upon me. In my distress, when seemingly closed in, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, heavenly dwelling place, and my cry came before him into his very ears. Then the earth quaked and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled. They moved and were shaken because he was indignant and angry. There went up smoke from his nostrils, and lightning out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, a storm, and flew swiftly. Yes, he sped on with the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret hiding place, as his pavilion, his canopy round about him, were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness before him, there broke forth through his thick clouds hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered from the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice amid hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and put them to rout. Then the beds of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He reached from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated and abhorred me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted and came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay and support. He brought me forth also into a large place. He was delivering me because he was pleased with me and delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, my conscious integrity and sincerity with him. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I put not away his statutes from me. I was upright before him and blameless with him, ever on guard to keep myself free from my sin and guilt. Therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, my uprightness and right standing with him, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the kind and merciful, you will show yourself kind and merciful. With an upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the perverse, you will show yourself contrary. For you deliver an afflicted and humble people, but will bring down those with haughty looks. For you cause my lamp to be lighted and to shine. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run through a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested and tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge and put their trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? Or who is the rock save our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, able to stand firmly or make progress on the dangerous heights of testing and trouble. He sets me securely upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness and condescension have made me great. You have given plenty of room for my steps under me, that my feet would not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I smote them so they were not able to rise. They fell wounded under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me and caused to bow down those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, that I might cut off those who hate me. They cried for help, but there was none to deliver, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I emptied them out as the dirt and mire of the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You made me the head of the nations. A people I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners submitted themselves cringingly and yielded, feigned obedience to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their caves or strongholds. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The God who avenges me and subdues people under me, who delivers me from my enemies. Yes, you lift me up from those who rise up against me. You deliver me from the man of violence. Therefore will I give thanks and extol you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverances and triumphs gives he to his king, and he shows mercy and steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's Bible reading, we see an amazing contrast between two men, Saul, the king of Israel, and his very tragic end, and then David and the miraculous deliverance that he receives from the Lord. There were two things happening here. David had pretended to be faithful to the king named Achish, who was the Philistine king, and pretended to be in league with him, though in his heart I'm quite sure he was not, because they were the arch enemies of the Israelites. And in a sense, David got himself into a bit of a situation when the Philistines were ready to go and war against Saul. And I do wonder what he would have done had that gone forward. But the lords of the Philistines were too afraid that David would turn and help Saul in the battle and end up destroying the Philistines. So they refused to let him and his men go with them, which was for David's benefit for sure. So David turns around, goes back to the town where he was assigned by King Achish, to this town of Ziklag. Meanwhile, the Philistines go into battle against King Saul and his army. You heard the story. The Philistines routed King Saul, killed him, killed his sons, and all the Israelites fled and literally abandoned the towns that they were living in, and the Philistines took them over. Meanwhile, as David returns to Ziklag, he finds a horrible sight. His town had been burned down by raiding Amalekites, different enemies. These Amalekites had burned the place to the ground, taken all of their goods, and kidnapped all the wives and children of David and his men. As Saul is going into battle, David is facing this horrific sight of what has happened to his wives and children, and all the men are ready to stone him to death. What a situation. Saul, when he was ready to go into battle, he tried to call on the Lord, the scripture tells us, but God would not answer him. Not by the prophets, not by any method whatsoever, could Saul, who's had walked away from the Lord and whose heart was far from God, though he tried to call on God for counsel as to what to do in this battle, he couldn't get a word from the Lord because he had no relationship left with God. What a sad statement. God would not answer him. So what did he do in desperation? He violated scripture by calling upon a witch who was a medium who did seances trying to call up the spirits of the dead. This was something that was forbidden in scripture, and in Saul's early days of his reign, he had actually banished all the witches, wizards, mediums out of the land under penalty of death. And yet, there's always somebody who knows where to find one, and some of his servants knew that there was a witch at the town of Endor. So Saul, violating all scripture, desperate as he was to get some kind of counsel because Samuel was dead, he wasn't hearing from the Lord, he goes to the witch of Endor trying to get her to call up the spirit of Samuel. Familiar spirits can impersonate dead people, and people will go to seances and a demonic familiar spirit will imitate the dead, and they'll think they're speaking to their dead mother or relative or loved one, but a familiar spirit can't produce the dead to anybody. But in this particular case, it appears that God allowed Samuel to actually speak to Saul. And I say that because when the witch of Endor actually saw Samuel coming up, she screamed. She didn't have her regular familiar spirit operating, giving her some false information. She was shocked at what she saw because it appeared to really be the prophet Samuel. And from the words that are spoken here, it appears it really was Samuel, because he rebuked Saul for what he did. He told him, "Why are you bothering to call on me when God won't even speak to you anymore?" So he rebukes him and tells him, you're about to face total disaster and going to die in this battle yourself. A familiar spirit will normally give very nice words to try to make the person feel good and also entice them to continue to try to operate through this demonic seance situation. So Saul was devastated, finally goes back, goes out to battle, and he's killed in that battle. Meanwhile, in Ziklag, David is facing all of his men getting ready to kill him because they're so distraught over the loss of their wives, children, their goods, and all of this because they followed David. So they're ready to turn on their leader. What does David do? And here's the contrast. When David was under such severe pressure, what did he do? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. The total opposite of Saul, who went to a witch to try to get some counsel. The scripture that states this beautiful statement that David, he had no human person that could encourage him. All his men were turning on him. What did he do? He was greatly distressed. It says in verse 6 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved for his sons and daughters. But David, and here is the character of David. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then he inquired of the Lord, asked the Lord, what should he do? Should he pursue the troop? Will he overtake them? And the Lord gave him an answer. You shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So the man after God's own heart encouraged himself in the Lord, even when no man could be his encourager. And you know, God wants you to be able to go to him directly and receive encouragement from the Lord, even if you don't have a single person in your life encouraging you. God is to be your encourager. God desires to be the one to strengthen you. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He inquired of the Lord. He got an answer. Go up after them. And God, in his supernatural power, answering the faith of David, that David believed that word, you'll recover all. He believed the word of the Lord, and he moved out on the word of the Lord. And he went after this troop of Amalekites who had attacked Ziklag and taken his wives captive and all the children captive and taken all of their possessions. And the scripture tells us the result, which was so beautiful. David recovered all. David recovered all. Those are beautiful words. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. And the next verse, 19, says, nothing was missing, small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David recovered all. That is a beautiful word from the Lord for us today. God wants us to be like David, one who can encourage yourself in the Lord, one that can receive the word of the Lord, take it by faith, move out by faith, and then receive the supernatural intervention of God in even the worst of circumstances. Certainly, as bad as David's circumstances had been, this was like the icing on the cake of horrors in his own mind. He's hiding in the wilderness from a murderous king, but now to make it even worse, his wives are kidnapped, his children are kidnapped, all his men's wives and children are kidnapped, and all their possessions are stolen by these raiding Amalekites. And yet God restored all to David. David trusted him. David encouraged himself. David did not despair. And I'm telling you, when you face a situation of this magnitude, the number one temptation you will face is to despair. Give up hope. Accuse God. Ask God, why did this happen? To despair, to turn to a place of hopelessness in your mind and hopelessness in your heart, hopelessness in your emotions, and just give up and do nothing and just blame God and be angry with God for the circumstance having even occurred. David could have definitely gone in that direction, but he refused. It says, he encouraged himself and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And God was there to strengthen him. God was there to encourage him. And God was there to speak to him and give him direction as to what to do. And because he did not allow himself, his mind, his emotions, to go to that dark place of despair and hopelessness and despondency and discouragement, he wouldn't even allow himself. He's about to have his own men kill him, but he wouldn't even allow himself to go to that place that his own men were going. But instead, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. He remembered what God has done in the past. He knew the God that he served. He knew the power of the God that he served. And he just said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord showed him what to do and then honored his faith to believe God could do it and received this beautiful answer. David recovered all. But the man, Saul, who had drifted so far from God to the point where he'd go to seek counsel through a witch, which God totally forbids, a medium, a spiritist, a psychic, whatever you'd like to call them today, God forbids that because God wants you to go to the source of all life and truth, which is God himself. That's what David did. Saul went in the other direction. The result of Saul's backslidden condition from God was death and destruction and the loss of his kingdom. The result of David trusting God in the worst circumstances he had ever faced in his life was victory, restoration. God wants you, if you're in the most challenging period of your life, not to go in the direction Saul went, where he turned away from God, where he got bitter at God, where he wouldn't consult the Lord until it was too late. God wants you to take hold of what David had taken hold of, that no matter how bad things are, no matter how bad things look, no matter how distressing the circumstances or the pressure may be upon your life, that God is ready and able to encourage you, to strengthen you, to advise you, to give you specific direction, and then to enable you, supernaturally empower you, to receive the fulfillment of his promises to your life, that he can turn any situation around, that God works all things together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. God can turn around your situation and work even the worst circumstances into a blessing for your life if you will trust him. Don't despair. Don't accuse God of being unrighteous or unfair to you, but instead do as David did. Strengthen yourself in the Lord, meaning go to the Lord. Let his word wash over you and encourage you. Listen and praise him. Spend time in his presence, worshiping him, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. And then seek him for direction. He'll give you counsel. He'll give you directions and in what you should do. And then move forward by faith, trusting that God will cause you to recover all, as David did. That's his desire for you today. Encourage and strengthen yourself in the Lord. He's ready to be your rock of strength and your refuge, place of comfort and encouragement. He loves you just like he loved David. And he knows the circumstance you're facing and he knows how painful it is. But he's ready to take you to victory. Put your trust in him today. And say, Lord, I trust you that by your grace and with your help, things will turn around like they did for David. And even in my circumstance, I will recover all. God bless you and give you a victorious day. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.